It is March the 5th, and we're talking baseball. You know, the weather's been good enough for baseball the last couple weeks around here, so might as well play some home games, and that's what we got coming up tonight over on 1180 The Zone. 6 o'clock start, the red-hot Creighton Blue Jays and UMass Lowell, and the head coach, Ed Service, joins us. Ed, how you doing? You got to be thrilled that you've got weather good enough to play baseball on March the 5th.
Yeah, you always wonder when you schedule these games a couple years out what it's going to look like. And I know people think we're crazy trying to play home games in the early part of March. But looks like we're going to catch a break. We're going to have well above average temperatures tonight and tomorrow, so we're in good shape.
The story throughout, you know, the early part of the season has been the offense. John and I have talked about it seemingly every day that you have played so far this year. Did you think you had this type of offensive production coming into the year? Has it caught you off guard at all?
Yeah, we knew coming from the fall that we were going to be much better offensively. First of all, we're older. Most of these guys have played a little bit at this level. We brought in a couple transfers that we thought could help us immediately, and so far they have. You know, nobody can anticipate you scoring 8, 9, 10 runs a game. But I thought we would consistently be in that 5 to 6 range. So far we're – and the weather has had something to do with that. The weather down in Texas – the last two weekends was very warm. The wind was blowing out. So it helped our hitters with their confidence. But we knew going in that we'd be better offensively than we were last year.
Ed, I talked to Ben North last week for our podcast after his big 10 RBI game against Houston Christian. And one of the things I asked him was about the offensive surge. And he gives a lot of credit to the fact that there's just more competition this year. There's more competition for spots and guys maybe realizing, hey, if I don't step it up, somebody behind me is going to take my place. How much would you give credit to the depth on the roster?
Well, Ben is absolutely right. That's another area that we wanted to shore up coming from last year, is we just didn't feel like we had enough depth. We felt like when we had a couple injuries occur last year, we didn't really have the quality backup player to come in and help us. And then you're right about the depth. The depth creates competition in practice. I felt like we didn't get better last year, you know, week to week. And that's normally the case, normally not the case at our place. We normally get better. So the competition has certainly helped. I mean, as good as Ben was that night, he sat out a game as well because he struggled a game. So he knows he's got to produce. Otherwise, there's a player right behind him that would like the opportunity to play.
And to that point, Ed, what I count, only 4 position players have played or started, I should say, all 8 games. Do you anticipate that lineup flexibility is going to be there for you all season long, or at some point where you think you're going to settle into something that's a little more regular?
Well, I think we're going to probably play 11 or 12 guys on a consistent basis, looking at matchups, looking at the pitcher we're seeing that night. Like tonight, we're going to play a couple different guys again who obviously have earned the opportunity to play. Colby Canales being one of them, who had 2 home runs on Sunday. He has not played first base for us much this year. He'll be at first base tonight. So I'm trying to reward the guys that are doing what they need to do in practice and obviously producing in games. So I think we're going to see a little different situation this year. Even when we get into conference play, you'll see a few more guys in our lineup than normally when we played the same 8 guys, it seemed like almost every game.
Coach, just given that so many of these games so far have turned into large victories, or, you know, in the case of the rough one, a large loss, I wonder how good of a handle you feel like you have on your team and maybe what is still to learn, obviously very early in the season.
You're right. We haven't played in a 4-3 game yet, and I don't know how we're going to respond. I like our back end of the bullpen, but it's a little easier pitching when you have a 6-run lead than when you have a 1-run lead. So we still haven't got those questions answered. I always look at the beginning of the season. By about the middle of March, you started to have a pretty good understanding of what you can and cannot do with your club. We're not quite there yet. I think by the end of next week, when we play these home games, we'll have a much better understanding of what our roles are going to be on a pitching staff, what our offense can do and what they can't do. And then we'll kind of go from there. But we haven't played a close game yet. I hope it doesn't start tonight, but we need to find out who can play in that kind of situation, because it's a lot easier to play in some of these high scoring blowout games that we've had in the early season.
Ed Service, head baseball coach at Creighton, joining us. Jays tonight against UMass Lowell. Two games tonight, tomorrow night, and then this weekend scheduled for three against Portland, all at Charles Schwab Field. Nolan Clifford, one of the returning guys from last year, off to an absolutely red-hot start. 571 on the season. He's already knocked in half as many runs this year as he had all of last season, and he's doing so by not striking out a lot. He's only struck out twice in eight games. Have you noticed a difference in his plate approach this year, and did you kind of expect him to take a jump?
Yeah, we did. You know, he got off to a good start last year. He just kind of hit the wall middle of the season, and then he got injured and missed about 3 weeks last year, and then came back and, you know, really never found his stroke again. But, you know, Nolan's a senior. He's played a lot of baseball for us. He's very comfortable playing defense at short. He's done an outstanding job out there. And then offensively, we knew that he had another step that he could take. And it's controlling the strike zone, John. You know, everybody wonders why these hitters are doing such a good job this year, and they are. It's they're swinging at fewer pitches out of the zone. You know, we can make this hitting stuff as hard as we want, or we can simplify it as much as we want. It really comes down to getting a good pitch to hit. And Nolan has done that. As well as he uses the whole field now. He's got as many base hits to left field as he does to the pull side. And that's the maturation process that you like to see your hitters have. So I hope he can sustain it. He's a lot stronger than he was last year. He's in much better shape. So we'll see now. You know, we haven't played any midweek games yet this year. So we'll see how they respond to this double midweek situation we have this week.
Coach, I want to go back to the answer a couple of questions ago when you just talked about the results of some of these games and just kind of coaching philosophy, if you will. And that is, you know, I've heard for years when watching a game or when hearing, you know, players or coaches talk where it's like, oh, the team won, but maybe they didn't look good in the process. And so it's like those are going to be some teaching and coachable moments. How important is that, especially early on in the season, to have some of those situations that the team finds themselves in where maybe you're allowed to be frustrated in the moment, but you also know it's going to be good for the big picture?
Well, you know, a good sign, guys, is when you can win a game and not play as well as you think you're capable of playing. I thought we did that on Friday against the Air Force. We walked a lot of batters. We weren't as crisp on the mound, but we still found a way. Same thing with the second game at Compton State. We didn't play well at the beginning of the game, came back and still found a way. There's all kinds of teaching moments in these first few weeks, and we like to do that. We've really kind of prided ourselves in being able to develop and get better as the season went on. Now, you can do all of that you want, but if your players aren't receptive to it, it doesn't make any difference. And I think this group is very receptive. They're very interested. They're very motivated to see what this season can turn out to be. And so it's been fun to work with them up to this point. There's been a ton of teaching moments. I'm sure there's going to be three or four things that happen tonight that we'll address after the game. And that's the beauty of these early season games is you're trying to learn as much about the game and as much about your team as you can.
Talk so much about the offense, Ed, but, and I know you alluded to the bullpen a little bit earlier. These early season blowouts do give you a chance to try out some different arms in different places. But, you know, our history here has been, you know, you get those five or six guys you really rely on out of the bullpen, especially in conference games. How do you see the depth of the bullpen developing at least early this season?
Well, we've got some guys that we feel really comfortable with. Mason Cook is out there doing a great job. Shane Curtin. Both Mason and Shane did not pitch much last year. They were probably in the 9 to 10 inning range, and their roles have changed dramatically. They're both going to be I could see Shane closing out some games. Mason, obviously, going to close out probably a few more. Daniel Hammond continues to get better, and his role is going to change where he's going to be what we call kind of a high leverage relief pitcher. Where last year he might not have been in that case. Malachi Vitak, who's been a part of the program for, 3 years, Malachi is going to take on a different role. And then Tommy Lamb, who's kind of our swing left-hand pitcher, he can go one inning, he can go three innings if we need to. Tommy's been a part of the program. This is his third year. So we're still trying to develop one more left-hander. Hopefully that guy's Casey Trapp, who came in as a grad student. And then maybe try to develop another right-hander to get that bullpen some depth so we don't feel like we're using these guys 35 times in a 55-game schedule. So Mason and Dan and Shane have already been in 5 games out of 8. So we've got to be cautious and careful in how we use these guys as we proceed, because it's easy for me to say, hey, how you feeling? They say pretty good, and then we use them. Then all of a sudden in May, they run out of gas. So we've got to somehow be smart about that starting this week when we get in these midweek games.
Hey, Coach, it's pretty easy sport to sport in college athletics right now to find, you know, coaches, whether current or former, that have a lot of opinions on what's happening within their sport at this juncture in time in 2024. I'm curious. I remember you coming by the College World Series a couple years ago and talking with Michael Sevier and I about the current state of college baseball. Almost 3 years later now, how would you describe where things are at with the sport?
Well, I think we're progressing in the right direction. You know, the games are better. There's so many older players playing college baseball now that you never saw. It's very hard for a freshman to break in.
Yeah.
And we used to always play a couple freshmen every year. Like we played La Tech on Saturday, and it was all seniors, and I think they had one freshman in there. So every team seems to be a lot older. I think that's better for the brand of baseball. I do have my concerns about what's going on with transfers. I think everybody does. I don't know if we're teaching our young people really the right things, you know, how to stay through something, how to deal with adversity. I'm a little concerned about that, but it is what it is. And we've taken advantage of it as well. So, but I think the state of baseball in college is in good shape. The crowds are better. More people are interested in it. There's more games on TV than ever before. So, I like the direction it's trending.
Ed Service, head coach at Creighton. This team's off to a great start. Hopefully you get a chance to see him this week, tonight, tomorrow night against UMass Lowell, then back this weekend. Not sure what Friday's weather's going to bring, but I think Saturday and Sunday are going to be great. So head on over to Charles Schwab Field. Ed, I can't wait to get back up into the booth here at some point, but you'll be in good hands here in this month. Connor will do a good job for you.
Yes, he will, but you take care of that basketball team. First things first, you know, we got to get them going, get them in the tournament, have them go deep, and then you'll join us here in April sometime. But, yeah, Connor will do a great job, and we appreciate all you guys do for college baseball.
We also appreciate the fact you didn't beat up on Connor when you were hitting fungos to him. I thought maybe he would come back with some bruises.
You know, I was a little surprised. You know, I was disappointed in the color of the glove. But
that's what we heard.
But, you know, I tried to hit him some easy two hoppers so I didn't embarrass him. But he hung in there. He hung in there pretty well. He didn't take one in the chin or the teeth. You know, I didn't want to see us. I know a lot of dentists, you know, but we have a lot of grads who are dentists. But I don't want to have, you know, emergency call for Connor that day because he took one in the chops. So it was a fun little segment.
Ed Service of Creighton. Ed, take care. Good luck tonight. We'll see you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
That is Ed Service joining us here. And don't forget, we'll have coverage tonight on 1180 The Zone. It'll be Connor Happer. It'll be Nick Handley on the call. And I'll look forward to joining him in April as soon as this basketball thing is all said and done. We'll be back and have more of Unsportsmanlike Conduct right after this on 1620 The Zone.